This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 89. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back. You're looking fresh. You're looking, you've got a whole heap of new clothing, which I'm mesmerised.
I thought
over.
I'd wear a lot of bright pastel for you today.
A lot of pastel. Lynn's is here as well. Lynn, you're back as well because you had holidays.
Yes, I did. Opposite directions.
We've
both been on the in-flight entertainment.
Yes.
Was Deborah Hutton a part of any of it?
No. Oh. We don't need to go into it, but I watched Good Place season 3 in one. Well, I'll say two sittings because I got up to go to the bathroom on the flight.
Fair enough.
I think we can count that one sitting.
Sure. All right. I did it in one go.
Technically, it's not as sittings. Oh, it's such a actually.
It's not. It's not as impressive as when I did the 8 Harry Potters in one go. That was the flight to New York
with no toilet breaks.
That with two toilet breaks.
Still, that's not many toilet breaks because they're movie length. Movie length movies. Yes. Funny that.
That's 16 hours minimum. Two toilet breaks. That's good going.
I'm pretty good at a festival.
Yeah, I bet you are.
I can hold
like
it.
A camel.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you guys have been watching a lot of stuff. I've been watching a lot of stuff whilst you've been away, and we've got a lot of news. So let's crack into the news, Tom. What was your highlighted news for today?
Okay, so I don't know if you talked about it when I was away, but we'll lead up with The Walking Dead. The Rick Grimes is going to be in cinema. That's a big deal.
When we first heard about the movies being a thing,
yes.
It was like, AMC.
Yeah.
So I just assumed it was going to be on television, but it's not.
No, they're giving it a big cinema push. When I say big cinema push, it might be like they're in cinemas for a weekend. It might not be a full release movie, but I could be very wrong. Who knows?
Years ago, we went and saw one of the season premieres of The Walking Dead, I can't remember which season it was, at the Opera House on the big screen. And it was so fun to watch it on big screen. So I think it's going to work well in a cinema.
I agree.
Another thing I read about The Walking Dead was that they've got Thora Birch.
Yes, she's playing
Gamma.
Which fits with the alpha beta.
Yeah, exactly. So she's going to appear whenever the new season of Walking Dead proper comes back.
That's right. I imagine she'll be wearing a skin face.
Yes, I've seen a photograph. It's ill-fitting. Some of the others look a little better, like Betas looks good.
Thora Birch has been in a lot of stuff, but I just always remember her from American Beauty.
Yeah, I couldn't actually tell you anything she's been in since American Beauty. I'm sure she's been in stuff. She was in stuff before then.
Yeah.
She was in that movie with Scarlett Johansson.
Ghost World.
I like that movie.
It's a very good movie.
Is that the controversy one?
No, that's
Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, sure.
So that's Walking Dead. I've got another piece of news from AMC, which is pretty cool. They're currently developing a comic that's relatively new. They've just had their 10th issue called Farmhand. And this is a really cool story.
Is this Skybound?
No.
Okay.
But it's Image Comics, which are the people that publish Skybound
stuff.
I see.
Yep.
So it's in that same family, and there'd be connections there. But it's the story of there's this grandfather, his family run this farm that have genetically enhanced plants that they can use as transplantable material for people that have lost limbs or need a replacement kidney.
Cool.
It all sounds very cool. Except maybe the plant that he's getting it from hasn't been genetically modified as much as demonically enhanced.
It's evil plant. It's like Little Shop of Horrors. I knew you were going to think
exactly
that as well.
Exactly that sort of vibe. And so maybe there's a great gardener who's pulling the strings elsewhere we're not too sure of yet.
Stardew Valley style.
Yeah, there's this weird caterpillar dog thing that's invisible that keeps appearing through the comic and we know it's important but we don't quite sure how.
Sounds like a Little Shop of Horrors, Wizard of Oz cross thing.
Touch of Alice in Wonderland as well.
Yes, the guy that he's writing and drawing this, he has previously drawn a comic called Chew, which is the story of these two cops, well, mainly one cop. They work for the FDA, the federal, like the Food Defense Association, and it's in the slight future where there was a mad chicken disease.
Like mad cow.
Yes. So chicken is completely illegal, and so there's all these underground rings selling and producing chicken and stuff. Anyway, this guy, anything he eats, he can see their full memories. So he works as a detective and eats parts of dead people and can flash back and find out what happened to them.
That's a storyline.
Anyway,
is it that gets, because they taste like chicken?
No, no. Like there's, I think beetroot is the only thing that he can eat willingly because it has no connective memories.
Okay.
Anything else, like he can hear plants screaming.
Wow.
Anyway, and there's like, there's there's a mutant robotic super chicken called Ponyo who's like a luchador wrestler. It's a really, really weird comic.
It sounds weird.
And it went to some crazy places and there was like 50 different types of food-based superpowers. The only powers in this thing were this sort of stuff. Like, so people could eat something and then would take on the properties of whatever they ate.
Mm.
So this guy...
What would you eat if that was... I'd eat a shark. I want to be a shark.
That's not bad.
Oh, I'd eat like sticky taffy or something where I could...
stick onto people.
And be real stretchy and an annoyance, cling to the bottom of things.
Yeah. I'd be off milk.
Why?
Just so I could see people pull that face every time they sniff it. Is this carton okay?
So, yes, Farmhand, there's no news on when it will be coming. It's still a very early developing thing, but the comic is fantastic. I'm really enjoying it, and this has really good potential from AMC to be something pretty trippy.
What is interesting is that there are only sort of 10 issues in, so people who have read the comics also will be going along for the ride.
Yes,
so it's
going to be pretty fresh for us.
That's cool.
Yeah. Sure, and anyone with, like, Walking Dead fatigue from AMC would be... something nice and fresh for them.
Well, we're going to cover
very different.
We're going to cover something in what we've watched that is a really good palate cleanser if you've got a little bit of superhero fatigue going on right now.
Ooh.
So any comic book adaptations that aren't straight up superheroes are a really welcome thing.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
I'd agree. Do you want a palate cleanser? Designing Women is coming to Hulu, if you remember that show from the 80s or 90s, I guess. Now, the thing is, it was a sitcom, an American sitcom. It was about, I think it was women who were in like a fashion house, that kind of thing. They were sassy. They wore big shoulder pads. I never watched it because I was far too young to enjoy that. But that's coming to Hulu. The interesting part of it is it's the original series. So... it's not a remake because all these streaming services are grabbing ideas from old shows and whatnot and like Fuller House, that kind of thing.
Funny you mentioned that. Shay is obsessed with Fuller House.
Really?
Right now. Yeah, that and Full House. She did some BuzzFeed quiz and now she's into Full House.
Amazing.
She's discovered the internet. The first thing she discovered was BuzzFeed.
Of course she did.
I did a quiz on BuzzFeed and it told me which 90s sitcom am I, and it said Full House 3 times. I did this quiz 3 times.
I now want to do that quiz. I'm going to do it after the podcast because I need to know. Obviously, I've got some that I would like to be, but we'll just see how the quiz sorts through.
So it's fun how that's found a completely new audience. Yeah. Shay's got no nostalgia for Full House.
That's true.
That's what I was thinking when you were saying about Designing Women. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Designing Women.
Yeah. Like,
if you don't remember it, then who's using Hulu that would remember it? And
yeah, that's
watch
a good
it for,
point.
Watch it for
but
nostalgia.
How good would a fashion show be now of designing fashion or dressing women, but it's just 80s style? I'm really into that. Like things like Nailed It and that sort of
you're looking
kitschy
mighty
take.
80s.
That's what I'm saying.
Today.
But no,
it's the pastel.
I don't
Miami Vice.
I don't want Queer Eye Today dressing people in that style. I want to watch vintage shows of that where it's like, well, Susan, a great option to wear as a clasp bracelet is, you know what I mean? Like,
do you remember that show Trini and Susanna? What was their show from like the early 2000s? It was from the UK.
I remember.
And they would go through women's wardrobes in a really bossy fashion. So you know how Queer Eye is quite encouraging,
yes,
and positive. They were like, "You were not wearing that. There is no way." I would watch old episodes of that again because
what not to wear.
What not to wear?
Thanks, quick Google.
Yes, it. Because they were really adamant on the fashion statement and choices that you have to make, and obviously they don't apply anymore.
Mm.
So you can watch them and go, Trini, you're so wrong mm-hmm. in 2019.
Yeah.
I love it. But what I'm wondering about Designing Women is if Hulu have got the original, if they're also planning on doing a reboot.
I'm sure they're testing the waters and seeing what the interest is.
Now that they've heard this podcast, they'll potentially be thinking, let's keep it set in the 80s. Shoulder pads. Brilliant.
Yeah, right.
I think even
it's the most fun decade, isn't it?
It really is.
Even if they're not, maybe there's an idea in this that we should make of just like a weird 80s fashion show where we're giving people advice but from the wrong era. This week, corsets. Yay or super yay? Do you know what I mean? Like,
always,
just
yeah.
Really yeah. Stuff that doesn't. Scrunchies.
Scrunchies.
Scrunchies never went out, did they?
They did.
Well, yes, but I have seen some people wear them and I consider it to be illegal at this point in time. I'm wondering if, I'm just trying to think back to Stranger Things 3, if there were scrunchies in it.
I don't know. Scrunchies
or was 1985 too early?
Scrunchies was 90s. Mm. Scrunchies was a thing when I remember things, so it couldn't have been 280s.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I saw another story that is going to make us all feel really bad about our lives.
Mm.
There was a tournament. It was a Fortnite tournament.
Oh, I saw this.
16-year-old guy, boy, won this tournament.
Mm.
And he got the trophy. The trophy had the bus on it.
Millions of dollars.
$3 million this 16-year-old won.
And there was a 15-year-old that came like in the semi-finals.
And of course,
like a mil or two.
I got some figures from ESPN to compare. To be like, fuck you, jocks that made fun of me at school. All right.
Check out my stats.
No. So the Fortnite champ for 2019 won $3,025,900. Novak Djokovic at Wimbledon won 2.983, less.
Oh, wow.
Tiger Woods at the 2019 Masters won 2,070. Sure. Sorry, 2,070.
Wow.
You know, like all these big earners in sports and jocks where everyone was like, yeah, boo sports. It was so, this guy played Fortnite for a weekend and walked away with $3 million.
It's insane. And also I think really stokes the flames of teenagers or even like kids around 8 or 9 who have discovered Fortnite.
Oh, hell yeah.
Whose parents tell them they're not allowed to play it. They go, well, if I play it, then I can win $3 million and that will be good for our family.
Dad, I can't stop practicing flossing. I need to win $3 million.
You know that that's going straight into the argument bank. $3 million.
That's a lot of dollars.
That's legitimizing it, isn't it?
You build
it really is.
Build a lot of, like, smash a lot of pinatas with that, hey?
Yes.
That's in the game.
Game reference.
Yes. So I've got some renewals and cancellations info. Mm. A couple of things from while I was away and stuff. So there's a show that I saw some stuff of at Comic-Con called Carnival Row. It's Orlando Bloom and Cara Delevingne.
Oh, yeah. Eyebrows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good way to describe her. Mm. So he's
and
like
Mr. Katy Perry.
Oh, yeah. Still.
Sorry
still.
To be
a long time.
Sorry
They're
to
married.
Be celebrity
so
guest there.
Orlando is a detective and he is like a cop in an area where there are fairies that mingle with humanity and magic is real in this world and stuff, but Carnival Row has like brothels and places of ill repute that one can go and interact with magicians or the fairy folk.
It's almost like a Neil Gaiman thing.
Yeah, it feels very much like that. Mm. The stuff I saw looked pretty dark and twisty. I'm not a huge believer in Cara Delevingne's acting ability, mainly because of Suicide Squad. And woof. but what I've seen of this looked pretty cool, and I watched her and Orlando Bloom on Conan, and they seemed very into it.
So, well, are they being American? Because they're both English, aren't they?
No, so it's I think they're talking old timey English. Hey,
all
get,
right,
look, get out of the alley,
I really,
yeah, it's a
you're like Dick Van Dyke level of
I've been watching
English
The Boys.
Accent.
I've been watching The Boys. That's what's happened to me.
That's amazing.
So anyway, Carnival Row, it starts in a couple of weeks, season one. Amazon have already renewed it for season two. Likewise, The Boys, which premiered last weekend, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, that's already been renewed for season two.
Awesome, because I've heard a lot of people saying a lot of good things.
I need more now.
You didn't say the magic word. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So Big Mouth, the animated series on Netflix about finding yourself and puberty, and it's very rude and this sort of stuff, they've just been renewed for three seasons.
Wow.
That's a big deal from Netflix.
That is. Netflix only give most normal series like two, maybe three tops. So that's a big thing.
This show has been nominated for Emmys and all sorts of educational awards, because even as vulgar and rude as it is, they're really connecting with kids in a way that sex education classes aren't at school. And so Netflix believes that this is a really valuable tool they can have in their
public
lineup.
Service.
Yeah. Almost like a fucked up teenage version of Sesame Street. Like, that's kind of how they look at it.
But if you also give that description to teenagers, they're going to want to watch it.
Exactly. And it's huge with them. It's huge. Lots of funny people. Nick Kroll, Jason Mantzoukas, Fred Armisen. Tons of great people involved in the show. Congratulations. Three seasons from Netflix. That's a big thing. Mm. On the flip side of that, Designated Survivor, which was on NBC for two seasons, got cancelled. Netflix
saved
the day for a season and have decided not to renew it further.
Yep.
Clearly didn't get the ratings bump they were hoping for.
There was another one that got cancelled from Netflix that caused uproar.
Would it have been Lucifer? Because Lucifer's finishing up, but Netflix have, I think, extended the final season
a few more episodes.
15, 16, something like that.
So it's been a bit of a bloodbath for both Amazon and Netflix this week. That's when the streaming services are updating their stuff for the next 8 to 12 months.
Tuca and Bertie.
That's the one.
And it was quite loved in a sort of cultish way.
Yeah.
And a lot of people ask, you know, why aren't you promoting enough these smaller things?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's just
they don't make any money.
Yes. Well,
that'd be why. But some fan bases can really be noisy on the internet and get things picked up by other streaming services. So maybe the end is not in sight if they've got a passionate fan base.
Well, that's almost a tactic in itself to cancel it. It's almost. Do you reckon that's sort of the way they went with Brooklyn?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine was definitely part of it. Timeless, that's part of it. There's a lot of these shows that they've put the idea out there of, oh, we'd already started working on some script ideas for the next season. I'm sure we could wrap it up with a movie, or, you know, putting it out anyway like that and just getting picked up by a streaming service for a few more episodes just to wind it up. Then you get the flip of that, like Veronica Mars, which had three seasons, lay dormant for
years.
10 years or something, then had a movie and then was dormant again for 7 years, and they've just come back for another season and dropped it all in one day, a week earlier than they announced.
Well, old Belle is back in...
Yeah, people love her.
Yeah.
And her love of sloths, I think, is endearing.
I want to see her and Keanu in a movie together. Not as a couple, just as a couple of best friends.
Yes! Dax Shepard has to make a cameo in there somewhere.
Sure.
Because people love him too.
He worked well as the sleaze on Good Place.
Yeah, he's having a lot of fun doing Spin the Wheel at the moment, which I've been watching a lot of.
I've heard you talk about that. That does sound really cool.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Kids stuck inside staring at screens all day long. We blame them, but is the alternative just not interesting enough? How many times can a 10-year-old swing back and forth on a swing?
Boring.
Is sliding down a slippery dip really better than watching fail videos on YouTube?
No.
Are monkey bars really that much fun if you're not a monkey?
No.
We transform everyday dull parks for kids into total nightmares. Slides of knives. Merry-go-round till she go crazy. Zombie sandbox. Seesawing you in half. Creepy Playground Makeovers is a brand new renovation program.
coming this spring.
Talking about Keanu, so we know that there's a spin-off of the John Wick series called The Continental coming, the TV show.
Yep.
And there's been no news as to when it's coming.
Okay.
We've known it's been in pre-production or whatever for about 2 years.
That's a long time.
It's a really long time. Well, they've just now said that it's unlikely to air before May 2021, which is when John Wick 4 comes out.
So that's not, oh, we just haven't got it ready on time. That's, we're doing tactics.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's, they're going to tie it into the story of the film somehow make it so you should see both. But that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
they also refuse to comment as to whether Keanu will appear on screen for the TV show.
Which means yes.
Yes. He's executive producing on the show.
Okay.
But it's a whole different contract ball game for him to appear on screen. So I think it will come down to what their budgets end up being.
Yeah, fair enough.
I also imagine him going, you don't need to pay me.
Yeah.
If this makes the films better, let's do it.
I'm an executive producer. I'll do these things for free.
Oh, and he does lots of things for free. I saw a picture of him the other day where he's filming Bill and Ted at the moment. He was driving to set and, oh, sorry, he was being driven to set, I think, or maybe he was on his motorbike, but he drove past a house that had some signs in the front yard to him just saying, you're beautiful? No.
You're amazing.
You're amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Breathtaking. You're breathtaking.
Oh, yeah, from E3. Yeah, yes. Cyberpunk.
So he got out and, like, walked up and took the sign down and signed it, no, Stacey, you're breathtaking. And then posed with the family with the signs and stuff like that. Got back on, went to work.
He's
Internet's boyfriend.
He so is. Speaking of Internet's boyfriend and girlfriend, so I know that Twilight's old.
Yes.
But the house that was Bella's house, you can rent that out on Airbnb at the moment.
Does it come with a promise of a creepy, immortal, 100-year-old something sparkly vampire appearing during the night?
Potentially that, or a hairy werewolf, or a non-hairy werewolf. He wasn't really...
He was not hairy.
He was not hairy.
Oh, he was the worst werewolf.
Oh, my God. They gave him a wig, movies. Didn't they? I read that first book because someone had lent it to me. So I was like, oh, that's nice. I'll read it. And I read the first few chapters and I realized that each chapter was just a different location for another conversation. And I found it really taxing to get through. And then I watched one of the movies and I went, that'll be fine.
I'd see all those movies for work back in the day.
When I went to the UK, there was Spice Girls Mania because they were just doing the Wembley thing, so I thought I'd look it up. And there was talk of being able to rent out the bus in Spice World movie as an Airbnb. And I saw some pictures, but I couldn't actually track it down on Airbnb. So, like...
It's probably booked out. Months in advance.
I don't think that bus looks the same inside as it does in that movie. Because in the movie, I remember
it's a bit
it being
of a TARDIS thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I remember it being three stories. They each had separate bedrooms. I think Alan Cumming even had like an evil scheming room.
An evil scheming room.
Yeah, they had pictures of it before and it was just, you know, a stage.
Yeah.
Mess of wires and...
Of course.
And shoddy platforms and stuff.
But it'd be hard to, like, redesign that now to make it look like back in the 90s. Like, where would you source all the furniture and the cushions? Because there are a lot of fluffy cushions, weren't there?
Just buy a bunch of UK flags and sew them on.
Done.
Lots of leopard print.
Yes. That's Scary's area. Any other news?
I've got two other news stories.
Amazing.
One of them is a random one and one of them's a, So we'll go with the random one first. Ryan Reynolds is stoking Marvel Phase 5 discussions. Now, we've got plenty to talk about on Marvel, so that we've already discussed. We're going to do a spin-off different episode about
it. We have to, because there's just too much.
There's 10 shows or movies that got announced. Yeah. I've had enough time to digest that I got a bit of an idea of what's coming. Mm. So we'll deep dive in that elsewhere. But Phase 5, which will be 2022 onwards, Ryan Reynolds is already stoking the fire with that. Kevin Feige said that in those films we will see some characters appear that we've met before, which suggests X-Men, Fantastic Four being folded in, this sort of stuff. Ryan Reynolds clearly wants to keep being Deadpool. Everyone wants him to continue being Deadpool. So he's celebrated the fact that It's just been 5 years since the leak of the Deadpool footage that got the Deadpool movies made. You remember that? Got uploaded on the internet. Everyone, wow, how is this not a thing? So he celebrated that with like a crazy person's board with like red rope connecting all these people, suspects of who actually leaked that footage. And a lot of them are the people that everyone suspects, the director, the writers, one of those guys.
Of course.
But also on that board is Blake Lively, Hugh Jackman and Betty White. So he's clearly having a lot of fun.
Ooh, he does actually, like his own circle of friends.
Oh, he certainly does. But I'm wondering if we can add Betty White into that movie with that we were talking about earlier with Keanu Reeves and Kristen Bell.
I'll allow it.
Kristen Bell.
I'll allow it. Betty White's greatest cameo for my money is in Lake Placid, the giant crocodile movie where she's the crazy woman that keeps feeding cows to this crocodile. That's why it's so big.
Good one, Betty. Ruin it for everyone.
And the other one is, do you ever see that movie Into the Wild? Remember back in the day with Emil Hirsch? He played a guy named, it was based on a book of a guy named Christopher McCandless, who like donated all his money for charity, gave all his stuff away and decided to go live in the wilderness in a magic bus. And he starved to death in that bus.
Yeah, yeah.
So people now do like pilgrimages to go to that bus. And I imagine there's probably a lot of taking mushrooms and things involved because it seems like a very hippie thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
A 24-year-old woman has drowned trying to reach the magic bus.
Oh no.
Yeah. That's sad.
Yeah, that is sad.
Recreating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard there's often people trying to dig up the thing from Fargo. Said that the money is buried.
Yep.
Yeah.
And people go and try and find that. So it's weird, like these
things
in movies and TV that.
Just watch the movie or go and stay
into
in
real life.
Oh, I don't know. I got a photo. I got a photo in front of the Ghostbusters firehouse.
Did you?
Yeah, not this trip, but like that's the sort of thing I can get on board with because you're walking past. But
Sex in the City house.
But going to a place so remote that someone already died to like pay tribute.
That's a lot of effort. Anything else news wise?
Just there's two trailers that we should mention. We don't need to deep dive on. I was in Hawaii when the Top Gun Maverick trailer dropped. They were very, very excited about that there. I would imagine even more so over in San Diego, which is where it's all set and this sort of stuff, and the military bases there. He does all the flying, and some of it looks stupid.
He's bang up for getting things done himself, isn't he, Tom? Cruise, I mean, sorry.
We're regularly mistaken. Close personal friend.
And he's still wearing his aviators and big jacket and the same
But someone
thing
has noticed that the flag layout on his back of the battles that he's been in does not feature China and Taiwan anymore.
Oh, okay.
So whether that's he's been in battle since then. And
it's a different jacket.
Or whether they're hoping to appeal to a more global market. And
might be trying to get into the China box office market. Yeah.
Because he's huge over there.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was a tiny little detail that was noticed in there.
Oh, yeah.
No Goose, but Goose's son is in the mix.
Okay.
Michael B. Jordan is in the mix. Everyone's always happy when he appears. Yeah.
He's a popular guy.
Yeah.
It's going to be big.
It is. It's going to be huge.
Mm.
On the flip side of one that I watched that trailer going, and then by the end I was like, all right, I'm keen for that. Cats. Now that happened when we were away. And what?
Yeah.
Like.
I've seen Cats before.
So have I.
Like I've seen the musical, I mean.
With Magical Mr. Mistopheles,
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so I've seen that and I knew in my mind like, oh, that's what it would be. But for some reason I thought maybe they'll go the Lion King route and make it super realistic. Or maybe they'll make it really cartoony and DreamWorks style. And
or really lean heavily into the 1980s aspect of Cats. Like the music, even, I know that they're dressed as cats, but even them dressed as cats look like 1980s cats, if that's a thing. But yeah,
I don't
know.
I don't ever want to see James Corden as a cat again. How do you make, like...
But the cast is so impressive.
It is impressive.
I love Jennifer Hudson. Mm-hmm. She's like the greatest singer at the moment, I think.
Just put her in every musical and have her sing the big song.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what they've done. And so she's going to be amazing, you know. Jason Derulo, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, how are they, Jason Derulo? People? Like, is he going to have to say Jason Derulo at the beginning of every song he sings?
Have to tag it all, yeah, right.
But yeah, big names, and I thought. Yeah.
I hope Sir Ian McKellen gets to sing a song.
Is he in it?
He is. He'll get to pass.
That big grey cat. I can never remember their names. Mr. Mistopheles.
I've never seen it, so it makes even less sense to me.
But I'm sure you've read the poem over and over and over
again. I know memories. And, like, my friend used to sing cat's songs, like, at me. When we were teenagers.
Sing the songs.
We did a fish musical when we were young and basically changed all of the words of cats to be aimed at fish. And I was the fish.
That's really good.
We performed this in music. Yeah.
I'm so happy with that.
I've got another trailer as well, just to sort of on the backside of... Top Gun, because Top Gun's so aimed at guys. There's a really good one that I, as a lady, am very excited for called Hustlers, and it's got Jennifer Lopez,
aka Jenny from the Block,
aka J-Lo.
Yeah,
she's on
got
and
lots
on.
Of names.
She's got, Constance Wu.
Oh yeah,
Cardi B and Lizzo.
Wow.
So it's going to be 100% that bitch film. The movie.
Beyonce is flat out refusing to be in it. It's not enough space for me.
It just looks amazing. It looks like something written by a woman, directed by a woman, starring lots of women. So whereas before we've had Ocean's 12 and Ghostbusters, it feels like we're in a new era of, okay... Like
we're doing it right this time.
Let's do our own story.
Yes.
I can't wait for you to see Booksmart.
I really wanted to see it when I was in the UK. But
it looks good.
No, it didn't get around. It does look amazing.
Yeah.
And lots of really good reviews. And who's the director?
Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde.
Who see, I didn't even know that she directed
this.
This
is her first thing.
Oh, that's why I didn't know.
See, I have... you know, with some celebrities, you just have like a sort of magnetic repulsion to them. I have an unjustified magnetic repulsion to Olivia Wilde. So, like, that is stopping me from watching.
She's married
smart.
To Jason Sudeikis from SNL. Like,
yeah. I'm sure she's lovely. I'm sure we'd be very good friends. But I've just got this thing. Do you have that with some celebrities where you just.
You just can't be dealing with them.
I just can't enter.
I'm just
your
not going to do that.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh yeah.
She's always been a black hole for me. I'm just like, oh, like if she's in something, I'm like, oh.
How did you cope with her being?
Yeah.
In the Iron Man series, well, she wasn't. She was in them less
she was,
as they went
she,
on.
Yeah,
she they realized their strengths.
But yeah, Hustlers.
Yeah.
If you're lady folk, get on it.
If you're lady folk, I love that.
Let's so sync good. Up and see it, ladies. Oh, I didn't mean like, come on.
No.
It's just nice. It's not patronising. It's not a chick flick. It's not a romantic comedy.
I know what you mean.
It's just nice. Bit more powerful than it was ladies used to, you know?
It'll be a good watch.
Yeah.
All right, should we get into stuff that we have been watching?
Yes.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Tom, do you want to go first? Because you said you've watched 4 million things.
I've watched many things. I'm only going to tell you a few because you've been bad. I'm going to start with one that I told you about yesterday and I know you watched last night and you haven't heard anything about. It's a Netflix show called Flinch. It's a game show. There's one American and two English judges, and eight people are in a barn where they are subjected to three different torture device setups. If they flinch, it goes worse. You've got to try and end a round with as few points as possible.
Okay. So it sounds a bit like that one where you've got two people either side and you're trying to make the other one laugh with a joke.
No. So the episode I watched, it started with them strapped to what looked like an electric chair, and they had large pans attached to their hands with pies put in them, and there were several large jack-in-the-boxes on the table in front of them, slowly wound, and as they went off, if you flinch at all, the pneumatic tubes made the pies smash into your face really, really hard. The second round, you were attached again to what looked like an electric chair, but it was specifically around the wrists, and there was a washing machine on a chain on the other side of the room that was let go and swung, and it would come within millimetres of your face. Oh. And if you moved at all, the chair would dunk you backwards into a bathtub filled with rotting lettuce and carrots.
Or as they were calling it, swill.
Swill. Mm. And then the third one was they got a shopping trolley and they cut off the front part and attacked. Electrical cables to it, and you sat in it and had to wear this hat that had glass perspex where the eyes were, but a domed top and a flat tray around your eye level that was filled with bird seed, and the three emus stood around you pecking.
Oh my days.
And if you moved at all, a shopping trolley would be electrocuted, which in turn made the emus more agitated.
Do you reckon you could do that? You'd be good at that?
Fuck no.
I don't see me.
No one's
coming.
Good at it. That's the beauty of this show. Everyone has a really bad time and walks away winning nothing.
I don't know. I saw one where there was this one guy and he was quite tall. There were a couple of episodes that I watched where there were big burly guys and they were flinches. One was a screamer. He was like, ah! He said, I didn't even know I was a screamer. But there was this one guy. Tall bloke, he did not flinch or react to anything. They were literally blowing up balloons slowly right next to him, and if they popped and he reacted, they would dump a whole heap of old veggies on his head. He didn't react at all. He's like, this is fun. He's like, how is this fun? It was hilarious. And watching the judge/host's reactions is great, because I think they're all comedians.
They are all comedians. One of them is Sean Walsh. You remember him?
No, I'm thinking of Bradley Walsh. Bradley Walsh.
He was in with Justin Collins for a while. Like they were a tight pair.
Oh, okay.
Justin Lee Collins. Anyway, yeah, the three of them, whoever throughout the different rounds, they have different players representing them, and they accrue, like the judges accrue points as well. And whoever of the judges has the most points at the end suffers.
Mm. So they have to go through one of these torturous, hilarious moments that are usually even worse.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. You don't want to be doing what the judges have to do.
Which makes it even funnier. Yeah, there's a whole season of it on Netflix, so if you want to go check it out. It's a good chuckle. It's a good one to watch, I would imagine, with a group of people. You know, like an easy Saturday night thing. Just
a couple
have some
of
friends around. Yeah. Take away.
Whoever thought of that a game show in a barn would work, but it really does.
It works really
it's
well.
It's creepy.
It's hilarious in every single way, shape or form.
Mm.
Yes, they do want to build a snowman. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I got through Big Little Lies season 2 with Meryl and her hair.
How was the ice
teeth?
Cream throwing?
Cut.
Oh, that was the one photo I'd seen. That was the one reference I had to talk about with you.
Because Reese Witherspoon had posted it whilst in production. She posted a photograph of her throwing an ice cream cone at Meryl whilst filming. And that scene was still in there, except they'd cut the ice cream cone throwing bit. Apparently there was a little bit of, controversy, but fighting.
I heard some creative differences.
That's probably the best way to describe it, behind the scenes with directors and whatnot, which is a shame. The season was good. I think I liked the first season more simply because there was more of a mystery because you wanted to find out what happened at that night, the fundraiser at the school, where this one you already knew, and it was the aftermath. And it's sort of like the aftermath of those stories where something bad happens to the bad person, but everybody else is closer and happier now that that's happened. Happily ever after until season 2. And Meryl plays the mother of the victim of the first season. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't believe anything, and she's very socially awkward.
Does she walk around like with a big magnifying glass detective style? Is that almost. Is that what she's into? Like,
well, she's more into, I'm going to say something really offensive about you, but then say something else. Like, she did not like Reese's character at all.
She's everyone's drunk nana.
Yeah, pretty much. But the star of the whole entire season is Renata, a.k.a. Laura Dern, and I would never have thought that I would be endeared by Laura Dern in something.
Have you not seen Jurassic Park,
well,
woman?
Not. I've never not liked her, but her character was next level in this and
okay.
Very funny moments. My favourite quote from her this season was, "I will not be rich." That's the kind of person that she was. And we've started a Renata fan club on Instagram if you want to go to the Watchers podcast Instagram page. Like the photo and let us know that you're in the group. It's a cool group.
Like the photo, we won't be able to tell.
Oh, yeah, that's right. How many likes? We'll have no idea, but we'll just feel it.
We'll know in our hearts. Hey, Linz, what have you watched?
So I watched The Lion King.
How was that?
For a start. It was really good. A bit like when I watched Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
It takes you about 10 minutes to get over the fact it's not the old one.
Yeah, right.
And then once you can move on, you're like, okay, yeah, this is excellent.
So if you were a kid now and you'd never seen The Lion King, the original, and you watched that, the new one, would you be just as endeared and blown away by the story?
Yes. A little bit more, yeah.
And how it's presented?
Like, I went with a friend of mine and I could hear her sobbing.
Oh, really?
Like, she listens to this as well, so I can out her.
Is that Viv?
As the sobber.
Is it Viv?
It is Viv.
Oh, we've talked about Viv before. No outing here.
I think Viv was angry about
she
something.
Did. She had a go at you once.
Yeah. I don't remember what it was about.
Oh, for not watching something. Something.
I've probably watched it since.
Killing Eve? No.
Hey, Viv, if you're listening now, which you are, yell it loudly in the car. We'll hear.
But because it's all about, it really goes hard on the circle of life thing.
Yeah.
And you know, how every animal has its place. Mm-hmm. It was just mind-blowing, just the visuals.
Did they look real? Like, did the lions and whatnot look real?
Yeah. And I'm sure there's a mix of real and animated, and I've got a background in animation, and I found it very difficult to. I kind of suspected that there's real and animated in there.
Apparently, there's only one shot that's fully real in the entire.
Really?
Is it like the jungly type, sort of like the?
I think so.
The sort of bushes and the.
I think so, but even like the real stuff that they filmed on is composite stuff from the jungle that they use in LA.
Yeah. Sure.
Huh. Interesting.
Like Jungle Book was entirely filmed in LA in a pretty small soundstage
that
they turned into a living jungle.
Huh.
And on top of all that, they've got Donald Glover and Beyonce.
My question is, how are the hyenas? Because Eric Andre and Keenan Michael Key.
When we walked out, Viv was straight onto Google to find out who the hyenas were. So they gave a solid performance.
They kind of needed to, you know. Those guys.
I think the most awkward one for me was John Oliver, but he's supposed to be awkward.
Okay.
He was in Wonder Park and it was awkward because you can't, you just keep waiting for him to turn to the camera and scream, Boris Johnson! Or something.
I did see him go on and on about Boris Johnson last night. I was watching television. It was a good, like, 20 minutes and then I realised, oh, I've been watching this for way too long.
He's supposed to have a half-hour show but regularly goes for like 45 minutes. He's on HBO.
Yeah, that's true. That explains all the swearing as well. Mm. What did I watch? Oh, I've already talked about it, Big Little Lies. What did you watch, Tom? It's your turn.
So I've got one that I know you watched as well.
Yeah.
That we'll talk about and then we'll come back to we'll finish on the boys, finish strong. So there's a weird thing on Netflix at the moment called Frankenstein's Monster's Monster, Frankenstein.
When you say weird, you mean weird. You've got to go into this prepared to understand what it's trying to do.
So it's David Harbour from Stranger Things playing himself, but also playing his father, grandfather and great-grandfather. And it's suggesting that he's doing a trip down memory lane and trying to find out some more about specifically his father because he comes from an acting dynasty. Now, I don't know if any of this is true. I don't know. I've never heard of his like father as an actor in this sort of stuff.
I just assumed it wasn't, and that he decided this was going to be the storyline.
I think it's the setup for the storyline. But basically, his father, who went to Juilliard, was a great actor in the 70s and starred in a lot of BBC teleplays. Now, you remember that style. I watched a lot of I, Claudius at school, and it is exactly that style of thing. So it's modern-day stuff of him talking to camera, trying to find out about what happened in the past, but also showing this teleplay that went horribly wrong and basically finished his career, which was of him adapting a Frankenstein, but he's...
But he's pretending to be Frankenstein, but he's actually... Sorry, he's pretending to be Frankenstein's monster, but he's actually Frankenstein.
Yes, so
the
he's,
man.
He's trying to trick a young lady that's come to the house. He somehow...
for some reason.
It's really, really convoluted. Anyway, it turns out throughout the story that the father is a horrible person and David Harbour should not have looked into this stuff whatsoever. All the fantasies of his father being a great actor get ruined, and we end up learning that he's a scumbag, awful person. But it finishes, like, there's just all the, like, Alfred Molina is in it for maybe 2 minutes, and they joke about how the teleplay used 60% of their budget hiring this great British actor to come and do 2 minutes of the movie, which is clearly what this program did as well, spending a bunch of their budget on getting Alfred Molina to come and be in two scenes of this crappy-looking play. It's really funny. If you enjoy weird comedy...
It's people having enough... How would you say it?
For British listeners, I can very easily describe it. It's Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, but an American version. It's that sort of mid-90s weird comedy flashback sort of stuff. It's quite brilliant.
It's Netflix liking David Harbour enough to be to give him rein to do this.
That's right, and it feels like a long form Funny or Die sketch.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's well worth checking out. As I say, Frankenstein's monster's monster, Frankenstein.
The only show brave enough to call Scar what he is: a murderer. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What else did you watch, Linz?
I also watched The Great Hack, which is a documentary about the Cambridge Analytica...
Oh, right.
Facebook...
Yeah.
...scandal. And it was really good. I've been off Facebook since that came out. It does concern me, that sort of stuff. So I go into it kind of thinking, you know, this is going to confirm all my...
And did it?
It was really good. It was just a really good look at the sort of underside of what's going on in politics. I also watched another great documentary called The Untold Story of the 2008 Financial Crisis.
Okay.
And that did a similar thing of talking to people who are under the political system. It had Obama and a few other people like that talking quite candidly to the camera. So both of these documentaries were really good at sort of showing you a little bit underneath the propaganda.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm sure there's still propaganda there. People have their intentions and stuff.
You kind of felt like you were getting more of the truth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was good, especially in times like we are in, where you just don't know what the crazy
what they're saying because they're
on.
Just crazy.
So yeah, so there's a couple of good documentaries if you like a bit of political commentary.
That one sounds interesting. Yeah.
So it's going off on Twitter for The Great Hack, and it's got an amazing. I'm into motion graphics. It's got an amazing intro
that you were like, I'm jealous. I couldn't do.
Yeah. I'm like. Getting onto the program, I'm like, I'm sure.
How
I can
do
recreate.
They? How do they do?
Yeah.
I'll talk really quick about this. I've been hyping up this show for like 18 months. The Boys.
Mm.
When I was in the States, I was able to sign up properly for Amazon Prime and everything like that, so I could check out Good Omens and a few of the things that I'd been waiting to hit properly. The Boys is fantastic. I went in thinking it was going to be a kind of silly take on superheroes, and instead it's like a really prescient of the time. If you enjoyed The Watchmen, and it was that idea of who watches the Watchmen, who polices the powerful, this show, it portrays the superheroes as bad, but the superheroes are really just the front for this company that's meant to be like Apple and every other untrustworthy megacorp rolled together. And we learn stuff throughout the season that these people have been manipulating events. They have algorithms that track potential crime situations so that they can dispatch superheroes and camera crews too.
So they're seen to be saving the day.
That's right, but it's all really about lucrative sponsorship deals and this sort of stuff. And essentially, the show boils down to the idea of if we already know in the real world that the more power a politician has, the more corrupt they do become. It's not a they may, it's a they will.
Yeah, this is a classic Citizen Kane. Yes. Want to be a man of the people, but when you get there...
So this is the idea of why would Superman give a flying fuck about us?
And
this
flying fuck, see what you did there.
Very clever. I didn't pick up on that.
There's a running thing of did he rape someone?
Oh, gosh.
Like, this is what I mean. These are awful, awful, awful people. He refers to us as bags of water. Why would I bother saving bags of water?
That's what humans are.
Yep. Huh. And the show is ridiculously violent. Like, a lot of people will bail out by the end of the first episode because it is so full on.
How many episodes are there?
There's 8.
I can even watch Walking Dead. I don't think I can.
Well, this
even
the violence is played for laughs. I will say, like, there's a person who's invisible with impenetrable skin, one of the superheroes, and the way they find to take this guy potentially out is so ludicrous. But if you enjoyed the idea of Ant-Man taking out Thanos in Endgame, this series pays off that joke.
It's going to save the day.
Oh, yeah.
So I've heard nothing but good things on Twitter and whatnot. People are raving about it. You sound like you're on the raving bandwagon.
Very much so. Carl Urban is having the time of his life playing a guy that's meant to be kind of like Michael Caine, but maybe pretending to have that accent because it sways back into his natural Kiwi or even really ochre Aussie at times.
Okay.
And like his accent's so big, it like storms out of his mouth and turns into Godzilla and starts knocking over scenery. It's so big. He's having so much fun.
What an amazing way to explain it.
And if you're a fan of the C word, this is the show for you.
Because
heard like 2 minutes of it the other night, and I think there were maybe 8 C bombs in that 2 minutes.
I remember the pre-Sopranos, the C word was quite unacceptable, and I think the Sopranos...
Sopranos and Sex and the City.
Sex and the City
Really?
They had one episode and it was all about watch this episode because this is the episode where they say the C word.
Ah, so.
Like it was huge.
Promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, post-Sopranos is the gradual increase of leisurely use of the words.
Thanks, HBO.
Yeah. So check out the boys, you cunts.
All right, we've got all of the things we need to do, so we're going to wrap this one up quickly. Lynn, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks.
And Tom, we'll be talking in the next day or two about Comic-Con and Marvel and all that kind of
thing. Star Wars Land is a worth it, all sorts. Hooroo.
See
Catch you then.
Bye.